Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here ever worry? Do we have any real worry warts in here? I don't know if that's a Georgia term or not, just an Alabama term, a worry wart, where we seem to worry about everything all the time in every way. Probably all of us worry to some extent about some things. No doubt many of us may have had worries on our mind today. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorted his disciples to lay up their treasure in heaven. But you know, you stop and think about that. If we do that, if we spend all of our time thinking about our treasures in heaven, how will we be able to provide for our future here upon this earth? You know, where will our physical necessities like food and clothing come from if we don't concentrate some effort on these things in life? And when we think about these things, and they don't always come to us, we have to go after them, don't we? How can we keep from worrying about these things? Beginning in verse 25, Jesus gives us several reasons why we should not worry in life. And in doing so, he establishes two very important principles to help us win our war against worry, because it turns into a war, because if we do it enough, it can damage us physically, it can damage us mentally, it can damage us spiritually. So we're going to talk about worry tonight for just a few minutes. The first principle that Jesus is trying to get across to us is that we need to have faith in God's providence. When we worry about everything, it seems like maybe sometimes we're forgetting God and not putting our trust and our faith in Him. Now, the word worry, as it is used in the Scripture, literally means to be distracted. Has anybody in here ever been distracted before? We've all been distracted by one thing or another. And that is the actual word that the Greek uses here in our word worry, is we're distracted. And so many times we find ourselves being distracted about so many things in life. Some of them very important things, some of them less important things, and some of them we worry about are not important at all. But we find it within ourselves, the need and the necessity to worry. We don't need to let our anxiety about food and clothing distract us from the more important things in life. You know, this is what Martha did when Jesus visited her and Mary in Luke chapter 10. She was so worried about preparing her meal and having everything just right for her meal. As Jesus said, she forgot the more important thing. And that was to sit and listen to the word that was coming from the Lord. Jesus makes four arguments in this passage of Scripture as to why we shouldn't worry. The first one is this. Is not life and body more important than food and clothing? Now, this is actually an argument that's taking us from the greater need to the lesser need. Now, life and body are certainly more important than food and clothing. I mean, who provides for our lives and our bodies? Who does that for us? God does, of course. And if He is powerful enough to create life, isn't He also able to provide food and clothing for the lives that He has brought into this world? So we need to understand that our lives, our bodies, is more important than what we will have for dinner tonight. No doubt, many of you went to great lengths for the food that we're going to eat in just a few minutes. Did you worry about that? Did you worry about whether or not the cake is going to turn out all right? Or did you worry about whether or not Ronnie's going to bring his donuts? I did. Did you bring them? All right, yeah. We need to understand that sustaining of life is more important than a new pair of pants or a pair of shoes. The second thing he said was, I want you to take a look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than they are? Now, the birds of the air are an example of God's ability to provide for us. Through His provincial workings in nature, God provides for the needs of the birds. Now, this doesn't mean that they don't have to go out and find their food and work for their needs. You know, when you go outside, and in the springtime particularly, you're going to see the birds very, very busy. They're going to be busy gathering food. They're going to be busy preparing nests. They're going to be caring for their young. And we see this is very evident, and especially if you come to our house and you go outside in our backyard and you look up into that great big old oak tree we have in our backyard, birds are everywhere, and they are preparing that tree for their sustenance. And they're always doing that because they know that that's their responsibility. But they are not guilty of overdoing a good thing. You'll never see a bird over-preparing. You'll never see an animal over-preparing. He will take exactly what he needs and nothing more. In other words, this is not like the rich fool that we read of in Luke chapter 12. You know, he was so proud of himself and what he had done. He said, look at what I have done. I have gained so much. And instead of sharing it with people who may be in need, I'm just simply going to build greater barns, and I'm going to put this stuff back, and I'm going to pat myself on the back, and I'm going to tell myself to take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The birds don't do that. We are certainly more valuable than the birds. And again, this is an argument going from the lesser need to the greater need. If God, through His providence, provides for their needs, will He not also provide for you? The third thing that Jesus says here, can you grow by simply worrying if you will grow or not? Now, I have to admit, when I was younger in years, I worried for a long time that I would not be taller than my daddy. Any of you fellows ever did that? You worry as to whether or not you're going to be taller than your daddy. And my daddy was a short man. He only stood about 5'8". I found out later on that that's the actual average height of a human man, 5'8". And I am very happy to say that I grew to 5'11". When I graduated high school, there's a picture of me standing by my daddy, and I was towering down over him. And boy, I like that. Now, I'm not 5'11 anymore. Young folks, let me tell you, you shrink as you age. Either that or you bend over, one of the two. You're going to lose some of that height. But I am still taller than my daddy was. And that was important to me then, for some reason. You know, the argument about the height here Jesus is giving us illustrates the helplessness of man. There are many things in life that we simply cannot control by worrying. And worrying is not going to affect it one way or the other. Worrying will not make us grow taller. It might make us weaker, but it will not make us taller. Worrying about food and clothing will not guarantee you that you will have food and clothing tomorrow. Or the things that you have today, you may not have tomorrow. You know, we all found that out back in 2018 when Hurricane Michael came through and did such devastation here in Albany. And even the year before that, when the tornadoes came through in January and destroyed so much of our materials and homes and damaged so much during that period of time. Many of us were affected by the tornadoes particularly. And no doubt when they came, and we knew they were coming because the weatherman told us they was. And we worried about that, didn't we? But there wasn't a thing we could do about it. It came anyway. The fourth thing that Jesus said, I want you to take a look at the lilies of the field. In Matthew 6, verses 28 through 30, he says, won't God provide for you as he has provided for the lilies? This is another example of God's ability and willingness to provide for us as his children. And like the other arguments, again, we're going from something that is lesser to something that is greater. Look how they grow. They toil not. They do not spin. And yet their glory even surpasses the glory of King Solomon. Through God's providential care, he takes care of the lilies of the field. Will God not much more clothe you and take care of you? Now, if God is able to clothe the grass of the field, which today is green, and tomorrow it will burn, is he not willing and able to do this for you as well? You were created in God's image. You were created and designed to spend eternity with God in heaven. Will he not take care of you in a better way? The second point of this lesson is this. If we worry, we are of little faith. If we worry about food and clothing, then we are of little faith. We have little faith that God's promise to take care of us will happen. The message here is this. People without God generally worry about these things, because they don't have God to trust, knowing that he will take care of them. But we have God. We have a heavenly Father who knows that we need these things. And because of this knowledge, he is going to see to it that we have these things. So we need to develop a faith in God's providence, both in his ability and his willingness to provide for his children. The second key to winning this war over worry is this. Make God's will your number one priority, and don't worry about tomorrow. In Matthew 6, verse 33, we are told to seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you will do this, if you will put God first in your life, God will provide for everything else that you need. He is certainly able to do this. And we know through Scripture that he is certainly willing to do this. You know, many people have followed the motto, don't worry, be happy. There was a song that came out about that sometime back. Jesus qualifies that motto by simply saying, don't worry, seek God first, and then you will be happy. I do hope that all of us believe firmly that we are better today because we seek God first in our lives. Because if we don't seek God first, we will not have his provision, his love, and his care that we would as we do as his children. We need to take to heart what Jesus says about worry. And if we do that, we will build our lives strong. It'll be like the man who built his house upon the rock. We will have that foundation because we will have a God that cares for us, that loves us, and will do anything for us to see to it that we are taken care of. And it doesn't matter what storms come our way. Our treasure is in heaven, and God will provide for us while we are on our journey to that heavenly home. So tonight, my friend, if you are not a Christian, you need to seek God first. In doing so, he will save your soul. And he will provide for you all of the things that you need. So obey him. Let him save you. Let him take care of you. Christian, have you left him? Have you put these worrisome thoughts into your mind, thinking that God can't provide for you, that he can't care for you, and you try to do it all alone? We can't do it alone. We need God to start with, and we need to trust God that he will provide. So come back to him. Let him cleanse you again. Let him take care of you again. And you can be worry-free. And it all comes from seeking God first. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.